You're listening to the official podcast of Asbury University, produced by students with God-honoring conversations that inform, edify, and encourage. This is Asbury. We explore culture and current topics through a Christian worldview, promoting a well-balanced life, and we empower our community to belong, become, and be set apart. I'm your host, Abby Laub. Welcome to This is Asbury. Welcome to This is Asbury. I have some students in the studio with me today. Welcome, Andrew and Abby.
Hi, thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks for being here. So we're going to kick this off today. So we had a conversation with one of your professors recently, Dr. Marvin Ruffner, to talk about Christianity and conservationism. And you guys have, well, you guys are members of the Asbury Environmental Club. So a lot of the work that he's doing translates to some of what the club is doing. So would you all just take a second, introduce yourselves and introduce the club?
I'm Andrew. I'm a biology major. I'm a senior and I'm the president of the Environmental Club.
Awesome. Abby, what about you?
And my name's Abby. I'm a junior and I'm the vice president of the Environmental Club.
Awesome. And you're also in the sciences or what's your major?
Yes, I'm a biology major with a literature minor.
Ooh, that's interesting. I like that combination. So where are you guys from and how did you become interested in this work?
I'm from Central Florida originally, and I came interested in this by growing up. I just sort of spent a lot of time outside in the woods behind my house. And unfortunately, when I got older, those woods got taken down to build a neighborhood right behind it. And that was sort of a lot of my childhood where I spent time exploring. But I also do sort of have to credit a lot of my teachers growing up to sort of facilitate my desire to help preserve the environment. Yeah.
Well, you must be one tough cookie because Central Florida and woods, I'm hearing mosquitoes and snakes and jaguars. I'm hearing like all kinds of things. What was that like?
Yeah, there's a lot of mosquitoes. I'll tell you that for sure. Actually, the county where I live was originally named Mosquito County.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Saw a lot of snakes growing up.
I bet you did. Fun. You survived. That's great. And then, Abby, where are you from?
I'm originally from Southern California. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't super close to the beach, but mm-hmm. I did grow up and we would go and visit. And my family spent a lot of time at the beach. And one of my best friends as one of my best childhood friends had a dad who was a marine biologist and kind of got me interested in marine science. And then that was also continued through some of my professors and just realizing the importance of conservation and stuff kind of got me all excited about it.
Yeah, that's great. So neither of you are from Kentucky. I love that you ended up at Asbury. How did you guys end up here?
Yeah, I came for soccer. There's sort of a pipeline from where I live in Florida. The coaches are actually from there. Ben Andrews from really close to where I live.
Cool. That's great. And then what about you, Abby? How did you get all the way over here to the almost East Coast?
Yeah, I was living in Kentucky for a while, working for Answers in Genesis for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then I just decided that I wanted to go back to college, not really sure what I wanted to do, but I came to Asbury, took a class with Dr. Ruffner, and he like persuaded me to pursue a degree in biology.
That is great. That's great. He's very persuasive. I love that. That's great. Well, can you guys, let's just jump right in. Let's talk about the Asbury Environmental Club and how you guys became passionate about this, you know, where this came from.
Yeah, so my idea for the club had originally sort of stemmed from in high school. We had a similar club where we would sort of just like bring up environmental topics and educate other kids at the school, and it had a pretty big following. And I just kind of saw that was missing at Asbury, as well as people not really knowing much about these environmental mm-hmm. issues. I'm sure Abby could talk about that more if she talks about her research project, but
yeah, let's jump right in there. That sounds great. What are you researching?
Yeah, so I'm doing a kind of a natural sciences and social science kind of combo, studying the action and awareness of Asbury students, staff, and faculty here on campus. And just
I took your survey.
Thank you so much. I'm just kind of looking at how much people know about these topics, and then what, based on their own admission, what they do or don't do to kind of help or prevent, depending on the issue, these topics. Because, you know, we, Andrew started this club. I, you know, really enjoy this club, but we've had a really hard time getting people to be passionate about it and show an interest in it. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of stemmed, like, you know, my interest in, well, how many people actually care about these topics and are they actually doing anything about it? And I just kind of took the ball and ran with it. Dr. Ruffner has been so supportive. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping to expand my project to other schools in Kentucky as Great. Well for my senior research.
Great. Yeah, he and I had a discussion about that a little bit, about, you know, why there is that kind of gap in people saying, hey, I care about this. Hey, this is important to me. And my belief is that, you know, if you're a Christian, your worldview, you automatically, you know, care about the world, like stewardship of the resources God has given you is just kind of baked in. But my feeling is that, and you can tell me your feeling about this, my feeling is that I think a lot of the language has just become partisan and kind of hijacked by people on both sides that are like, no, this, no, this, no, this. And I think a lot of people just feel kind of caught in the middle. Like, how do I respond to this? And how do I just say, hey, I'm a person who cares about God's creation? You know, do you have a feeling about that, about why there is kind of that disconnect in engagement or, you know, feelings about it or whatever it could be?
Yeah, I definitely think that a lot of people tend to connect environmental issues to a specific political party, mm-hmm. and that, you know, one political party might have more to do with the environment than the other political mm-hmm. party. And I think that that kind of hinders a lot mm-hmm. of involvement and just general awareness and general, like, empathy of these issues. And I think a lot of people have kind of been misinformed that, you know, oh, someone else will take care of it. Someone else will, you know, make a difference. And it, you know, even the people that are trying can't make that difference alone. It takes everyone at least doing a little bit. The little bit that they can do can really make a difference. And I think a lot of people have been misinformed on that point. And so that's one of the big things that the Environmental Club is trying to do, is just say, you know, even though we are a small little, you know, school here mm-hmm. in the middle of Kentucky, we can care about these issues across all different fields and all different occupations, mm-hmm. and it can make a difference.
So what do you feel the issues are, and what are these small things that people can help do about them?
Yeah, there's kind of countless issues you can really get into. That's why we try to focus on global issues as well as local issues and kind of rotate between the two. I mean, some of the big ones are obviously climate change and fast fashion or coral bleaching. There's kind of nameless ones mm-hmm. you can talk about.
Let me start with one of those. Let's start with the fast fashion one, because we're at a university and I constantly have these moments where I have to laugh because I tell my student workers, I'm like, I wore that when I was your age. And I remember my mom saying that to me when I was in college, I wore that when I was your age. So these, you know, trends just kind of cycle through. But what we find is that so much of the clothing, as you all know, that's manufactured, it's not a very clean process, and there's so much waste generated. And so often you can, you know, just be more conscious about what you're wearing and buying things that last longer, or a lot of the students here go thrifting. And there's a lot of ways to work around that. So talk about fast fashion, why it's a problem, why people should care about it, and what you see your fellow students doing.
Yeah, fast fashion is kind of a problem. Like, most upfront, all the clothes waste that there is, mm-hmm. because it typically entails, like, really cheaply made clothes that are just going to break really quickly and get thrown away. But the amount of water that also goes into making those clothes also prevents or causes a big issue. Mm. It takes, like, thousands of gallons of water to make even, like, the simplest of types of clothes, and as well as plastic use. There's a lot of synthetic clothes being made in fast fashion.
Everything that we use has plastics in it, and those plastics eventually make their way into the ocean, mm-hmm. and a lot of studies are being done on microplastics, but we really don't know how they affect the different ecosystems in the ocean. Some of the microplastics stay at, like, the surface of the water, or they stay in the water column, and they're carried around the globe by different water currents, and some of them sink to the ocean floor at varying depths. And some of these ecosystems that we're just now discovering have already been polluted by microplastics, and we don't know how that's affecting the environment. And so just learning more about them, the microplastics themselves, and then learning how to prevent more of them through, you know, better use of fashion, better, you know, kind of stewardship of these resources that we have can go a long way and needs to be prioritized.
Yeah. And fashion is just one of the many areas, you know, we're just picking on that one today. What are some of the other topics? You mentioned coral bleaching. Let's talk about that one. What does that mean?
Yeah, so coral bleaching is a phenomenon that typically happens with corals in like tropical environments, although it can happen in like kind of colder climates as well. But it basically occurs when the photosynthetic organisms that live inside the corals, these organisms are called zooxanthellae, and they are kind of kicked out of the coral polyps. They live in a symbiotic relationship with the corals, and they're kicked out because the corals have like a stress reaction. And so they kick the zooxanthellae out as a defense mechanism, but the zooxanthellae are the organisms that bring in food and are able to photosynthesize for the coral. And so when they're kicked out, the corals can't live very long. And so the stress mechanisms can happen for a variety of reasons. Some of the reasons include warming waters, like not just like trends, but like sudden heat waves, and also pH levels in the water, ocean runoff from different like city areas that carries a lot of like fertilizer and chemicals with it. And all of these kind of causes can contribute to coral bleaching. And even when the coral are like bleached, when the zooxanthellae are kicked out, the corals don't die right away. They're just bleached for a little while. And in short term, the defense mechanism is really helpful, but in the long term, it can really have some devastating effects.
That's fascinating. It's things that we don't think of in our day-to-day life, you know, because we're not looking at coral all the time, unfortunately. But, you know, there are other areas where we can observe nature right here in front of us. You know, here in Central Kentucky, there's hiking trails just right here on campus. There's all kinds of ways to appreciate nature and enjoy nature. And I think that so much of, you know, conservationism and stewardship of what God made, it just comes down to being in it and appreciating it. You know, is that something that you try to encourage your peers to do?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, our first meeting we did was on invasive honeysuckle, partly because people would be more familiar with that or would at least be able to see it after the meeting, because once you see an invasive plant, it tends to be the only thing everywhere. You can see after that. Yeah. So just starting with something people could see on a regular basis just to get them kind of used to the idea.
Definitely. So how do you think Gen Z, if Gen Z views some of these things differently, do you think there's a different approach?
I would say just because of how political it sort of has become, it's just almost easier for people to just kind of tune it out. Mm-hmm. And they don't really see the effects straight away. So they don't really see it as anything really happening. That's why we try to bring up these topics so that way people are really seeing what's happening, seeing how they can make a difference. And when you have enough people making that small change, it can make a big change for these issues.
Definitely. What are some of the activities the club is doing for the rest of the year?
We have a meeting this Friday. This is just sort of about good news because, you know, a lot of our meetings, unfortunately, aren't good news. We're typically talking about things that are harming the world in some sort of way. And we do usually end them with what we can do to combat them. We just wanted to have a meeting that was more uplifting and not so doom and gloom.
Yeah. So do you have some good news to share?
Let's see. Well, I follow a lot of different accounts on social media talking about different organizations and people that are just making a difference worldwide. And there have been different tree planting organizations that have been making a lot of progress. I've seen some different new like techniques that involve drones to get food to animals that have been harmed by like wildfires, specifically in Australia, I think the project was, but just to make sure that these animals can, you know, get food when they need it with as minimal human contact as possible. And then, of course, there's lots of organizations working with plastic cleanups in the ocean and in rivers, and then lots of different conservation efforts for sharks, specifically to stop shark definning and stuff like that. That's a really prevalent problem in the world right now. But just lots of different good things are happening around the world, and it's hard to see sometimes, especially when we're, you know, isolated in the middle of Kentucky. But there's lots of good happening here too. Dr. Ruffner is doing some really good work with people on different honeysuckle things, and then Dr. Bramall's work on salamander DNA and eDNA, just learning more about these species so that we know how to help them better in the future, can really go a long way. And it's really exciting to be a part of.
Yeah. Do you think Christians have been kind of stigmatized as, you know, not caring about the environment? Do you think that's an unfair stigma? Do you think that's true? What are your feelings about that?
I can see it being sort of true, just because we almost are called to care about the environment more, because this is God's earth that he made for us to take care of. And I do hear people sometimes say that he gave us this world so we could use all of our resources, but I just don't see it in the type of way where we're sort of overusing our resources. And it's kind of a fine line. And to the point we've gotten to now in the United States being predominantly Christian, and we are just so consumerist and using so much, it's just kind of hard to say that Christians don't have this reputation for a reason.
Andrew, you're getting ready to graduate soon. So what are you hoping to do once you're done?
Yeah, I'm pursuing my master's degree, probably in a ecology-related field. I have some interviews coming up, so hopefully that goes well.
Cool. And then what about you, Abby? You have a year left.
Yes. I'm hoping to go to grad school in marine biology, probably somewhere crazy like New Zealand. Ooh. Or Malaysia, maybe. I'm really passionate about coral reefs, if you guys can't tell, but just the whole reef ecosystems and how the reefs interact with the fish and the corals and the sharks and all the animals that are part of that ecosystem. And also, not just studying the animals and the ecosystem itself, but also the conservation aspect, a part of that. And that's how I kind of started my project, or like that was one of the goals that I wanted to do, was really to kind of understand how I could help people or better get across this message, even at a small school, but that can also translate to some of these bigger goals that I have.
Yeah, these goals, big and small, I love that. And Andrew, I love you getting ready to head out of here soon. We get to have you one more year, Abby. So can you all, in closing, just give your fellow classmates and soon-to-be graduates just a few practical tips that you would pass on to them about how to just be better stewards of what God gave us?
Yeah, I'd say sort of the easiest thing is educating others on these topics, if you know about them, because I feel like education is the most helpful tool. We sort of end every meeting with that. Recycling is always going to be a good tip. And to just be less of a consumerist.
Mm. Hey, it's easier on your pocketbook too, right?
Yeah.
Easier on your wallet.
And I think another interesting aspect of the education side of it is the utilization of social media in that. I mean, being kind of in a landlocked state means that you can be more isolated in some of these topics, but depending on the people you follow or the influences that are in your life, you can be a part of these bigger things or be aware of them more, and then, you know, make choices accordingly, whether it's reducing consumerism or, you know, thrift shopping more, or even, you know, recycling, using less plastic. And there are also a lot of phone apps that can help too, just for different like makeup and skincare brands, that you can buy cleaner products that produce less waste or emit less harmful chemicals. So there's a lot of tools that people just don't know are there that can, you know, really help. And they're really cool to learn about and be a part of.
Well, thank you guys for taking the time. Is there anything else that you want to add in closing? Can people follow you anywhere, or is there just, you have to be a student to join the club?
Yeah, we are open to anyone. We actually have, last semester had someone come regularly, or I guess it was last year now, come regularly that wasn't a student. So cool. That was nice to have them there. You can follow us on Instagram at AU_environmental_club.
Great. Well, thank you guys again so much. I appreciate meeting you both, and thank you for everything you're doing.
Well, thank you so much for joining us for this episode of This is Asbury. To learn more about Asbury University, visit asbury.edu.